Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold! Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at dungeonsanddoritos.com.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network,
geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop,
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination,
and with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here with another installment of Flame On. We are here to celebrate gay life in our, now that's what I call gay life, series of episodes. I think this is episode 10.
Oh my god.
I think it's 10.
I think a little less.
Hold no, on. I think it's 10, because I think last time I said 9, and it was actually 8.
It was actually like 8 or 7.
But then we did the sequel, and it was 9. So I'm pretty sure this is 10, because the last time we recorded one of these, we were at the Gardens.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
We were at the Gardens.
This is now in the future. Future.
Well, I'm glad I at least brought cupcakes.
Buttholes Cupid was episode 9.
Oh, Buttholes Cupid.
Shirt designs in progress.
Well, this is going to be coming out sometime in, I think, April, maybe May.
In a post-apocalyptic future?
Yeah, this is going to... Depends on how this coronavirus takes over.
Shit is getting real.
We are recording here in Orlando, Florida. We're doing our best for social distancing.
We're doing better than our last episode.
Yes.
Although both of you are still too close.
You sat down after we were both in our places, sir.
I mean,
where can I go?
I did lick everything in the kitchen.
I mean,
so.
BJ still has like a foot to scooch over.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, where's the other chair? Where's the rolly chair? Is that now in your home office?
That's in the office.
Your home office.
I use that for work now.
I was like, you could have rolled it out and then up the ramp. We are on a semi-lockdown. We're only on a
essential services only
requested stay at home until later this evening as we're recording. This is going to be so weird. Like, we're recording all this stuff much earlier than when it's coming out, because in just about 3.5 days, I leave Orlando.
Oh, my God.
It's so crazy. I thought I was going to get another week here, and I had postponed, like, doing stuff.
Well, I'm like, I'm glad like you told me, because I would have been super mad if I had been like, hey Pat, what are you doing? Let's grab like some crystals and eat them in your front yard while yelling at each other from our cars. and you would have been like, bitch, I'm on the road, like I'm 5 minutes from home now. And I would have been like, I'm a bad friend.
I know. I found out today, the day of this recording, that The delivery services are considered logistical, so they are not governed by a shelter-in-place regulations.
Logisticals?
Logisticals?
The logisticals have descended.
Yes. So all of my plans are going forth as they were originally intended, and we are doing our last in-person recording. We recorded a bunch of stuff before this. That'll be coming out all through the month of April and possibly into May. I think our next live-ish recording, and by that I mean I'll be in Chicago, you guys will be here, will be for our May roundup, because we're going to put out pre-recorded material all through the month of April as I adjust to life in
Chi-Town.
Chicago.
The wilderness.
Chi-Town.
In Chi-Town. And so we wanted to do one more gay life here in Orlando before I move.
Which I think is a fitting, not really necessarily fitting per se, but yeah. We made it to the double digits.
I know.
I was going to say, before you left, this is like our episode 10. I can't even get over that. This is like the next to Drag is the New Spandex. This is our longest running spinoff.
It really is. I mean, Drag is the New Spandex has done so much. And we've slowed down quite a lot. There is a new one that will be out, I believe, before this. But yeah, that was something that really took a hold. And we did a lot of interviews with Rue Girls and local Orlando queens. And this was something that you had thrown out there. The only other series that we had done that was kind of like this was The Crown of Narcissus.
Oh, yes, The Crown of Narcissus.
Which had some great episodes, but then Jared had gotten busy with his real-life job. He had gotten a big boy job.
That's
right.
And
he wasn't able to spearhead those episodes. And we congratulate him on all the work that he has done,
you left
obviously.
Us.
Even though he's left us.
He left us. It's okay.
But you came up with doing these gay life episodes, and most of our other castmates have not been as ready to
share all their all their pain and private moments as us.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not quite sure why I decided to join in on this. But with three people, it feels like there's at least a little more place to hide than just with a one-on-one interview, in essence. But yeah, we made it to our 10th episode, our 10th volume of Now That's What I Call Gay Life. And I think, honestly, this is one of the things that I'm most recently like proudest of this podcast for doing. Like,
it's a lot of fun.
We get into a routine with our roundups, and Josh and I were talking about this after our last recording, where we just kind of get into like, okay, cool, this is what we've been watching, blah, 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 here's what it is, and that's really kind of it. And I hope that we kind of, as everything settles down, especially after all of like this pandemic craziness has gone past us, hopefully by summertime, that we really are able to get back into feeling like how we used to and talk and really discuss the things that we're watching and that we're enjoying. Because it's so much fun when we really kind of dig into the things that we enjoy.
I don't know. I was talking to my therapist, and I was like, I don't know. I kind of like it because everybody's like hidden away in their house. Nobody's putting on pants. Everybody's in sweatpants. I'm like, this isn't even fucking playing field. Everybody's gonna be horny when they get free, and I'm like, yeah, this is my time to shine. That's right, COVID-19 2020. BJ's here. But no, yeah, you're right. It's definitely been up and down, and it's one of those things where I think there was a point in our last episode where we're like talking about it, and then there was like this pause where we're like, fuck, this is real. This is like something we watched on Walking Dead. Holy fuck. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's had that moment of like sober realization, and I, of course, there's my stupid ass that's blasting Lizzo, and I'm driving down like an empty highway at like 5 a.m.
Oh,
jamming
bitch, listen,
out.
I when I realized that like I only have 3 days left here in Orlando, and I haven't gotten really to like see my closest friends, most of my closest friends in person, and I was just like, fuck, and I started just jamming out to old school jams.
Oh,
I had
no.
I had the I had Ladies Night, the Not Tonight remix on YouTube. I watched Demi Lovato's I Love Me.
Did hear that one when I was working.
Yeah, and I'm just like, and then I was just trying to find Angie Martinez videos because after watching Ladies Night, I was like, I need to watch some Angie Martinez. And then BJ, you got here, and I was like, okay, I gotta stop watching music videos now.
Oh, don't worry. See, so because you didn't have like, because there was like a week of parties and everything, ladies and gentlemen, that he would like, he couldn't do.
Oh my god, so many parties. It was like the Cher farewell tour.
Oh my god, it was
version
never ending.
17.
Like, I got an alert for one, and I'm like, what the. Is there one tonight? What the fuck? Like, and it was like right before the bars closed. So if you guys are listening, definitely send him some love. But
and some money.
Please
do. Use it.
If you like hearing us beg for money, join our Patreon.
I'm your private dancer. A dancer for money.
But does that mean we're going to set up an OnlyFans for people to subscribe to?
I mean, there
is a fetish, a crying fetish.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, he can just film you crying in the shower. Like,
I'm going to do the OnlyFans where you pay me to not take off my clothes. Where it's like, here, I will give you $3.99. Because, bitch, I won't charge you $19.99 a month. I will charge you $3.99 and be like, please, I will keep my clothes on. And I will just send you a little, hi, how are you picture.
See what I do. So I do this for everybody that leaves. There's a... Who are you waving at?
I wasn't waving at anybody. I was checking my nail because my nail was
turning
black.
It looked
black.
Like you were waving. Are you waving to a dead person?
Stick my nails.
Oh.
Baby, ew, how you feeling?
I smashed my finger feeling into the door in a cleaning fit, and it's turning black, and it's dying.
So I always...
Why I gotta be black? Don't make us call you out like Mike Mikulski.
I mean, I guess if you want to get technical, it's like a bluish black. So
don't make us call you out like Mike Mikulski. We're going to get you fired from Abercrombie and Fitch, bitch.
Oh.
I was like, who's Mike Mikulski?
But no.
I had to make sure I didn't say Mike McCroskey because that's a whole different Mike.
But
Mike Mikulski is?
No. Close. The last name is close. Just no.
What was?
No ski.
Are you sure? What's his last name?
Macaulay. Like 90, I'm 90% positive.
Look that shit up.
I just have to go to my Instagram because I think I followed him.
But but what usually when I have friends that leave, especially when they like move somewhere far away, and it's likely I'm not gonna see them again, I set up something with all their friends and close friends and everybody, for them, and I usually send it. The day you leave, so that way if you ugly cry, it's completely, you couldn't do it like while you're on the interstate. So I have a wonderful surprise for you, and I will post it up on the the Facebook page. Everybody can enjoy and get to know Pat a little bit better.
My lord.
So
the funny part is that this will all like have taken place like a month before the people hear this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you're gonna have to dig back a little bit.
One thing I kind of have, because you mentioned Mike. So is that like how we know if we've made it big, if we've really,
if you've been
like,
canceled,
if your racist comments have surfaced?
In the gay community, or the bear community, I guess, like, is a sign of you making it having to make an apology video for something that has happened on social media in the past?
No, because you should never have to make an apology video if you're not problematic.
If you're not garbage person. Oh my god, use that word. You are drunk. You hate that word.
I hate that
you
word.
Like,
so
and
much.
you didn't even squirm saying
it. I didn't.
Wow.
No, and this is the thing. And honestly, okay, I'm gonna speak on this because
I feel like I haven't made it, but I haven't done anything like notably terrible.
So
we're looking,
this.
Bitch. We're looking.
Keep
People
looking.
Have shitty pasts, and I get that, and I understand that, and I think the world understands that. The thing is, when you get to a point where you have a national spotlight put on you, if you are part of a national or international chain's campaign, and these things come up, you need to actually like address them sincerely. When you put a video up,
like,
or
head on beforehand, it's like, hey,
yeah.
Since all y'all know my name now,
yeah.
If y'all start digging, there might have been a dark period. Please don't take offense to anything.
Well, not even that. No, because that's just bullshit. When you sit there and say, don't take offense to anything, or I'm sorry if you were offended by, that's a bullshit. That's a non-apology.
Yeah, you get negative points for that.
Which is pretty much how he apologized. It was like, there may have been things that came up, and I'm sorry if they were offensive, and that was a bad time for me. No, fuck you.
What is this just voice you're doing?
This is unapologetic white gay. That's what I did.
But like, oh, it's like it went from like the way you wish he sounded, which is like gravelly and like, oh, I want to hear him read the phone book, to like, oh no, he's problematic now. So now he sounds like the most annoying voice you can think of in your head,
right? But if you were, if people who have had pasts like that or have said shit like that, because honestly, we've all said shit that we regret. We've posted shit that we regret, or things have happened in the past that we regret. People grow. And I personally believe...
I'm a grower, not a shower.
I mean, so am I. I'm Irish. The Puerto Rican doesn't take over in that respect.
I grow as a person, but I don't show it.
Oh.
Society's fault.
But if you turn around and you say, listen, yeah, I made those posts. I was an asshole. Like, that was a really shitty point in my life. And I have grown. I've learned. And that's not me anymore. That's not who I am.
I think at some point he did say he's grown as a person, though. And
yeah, but honestly, I watched part of that video. I heard you listening to it when you were
supposed to be
from home. Y'all at home didn't see the air quotes, but I was like, honestly, I'm in the room and I'm like, what is that video? And I'm like, please don't tell me that's Robert McCauley, like, doing an apology video.
So at this point, I feel like the rest of the podcast, anytime we mention him, you have to get his name wrong intentionally.
What is his name? Michael. Is it Michael Robert? Isn't it Michael Robert?
I don't know about, maybe.
Mike McCauley.
Yeah.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Just to have him keep messing it up.
Yes.
It's Michael Robert. There you go. Yeah. See, so I was close.
I still think you should get it wrong, like, the rest of the episode, because you have yet to get it right without being corrected or being careful.
I mean, true. But if you, and honestly, and he came out before that video with the worst non-apology ever, like the worst non-apology ever. But if you come out and say, listen, that was me at a different point in time. I have learned, I have grown, and I want to do better. And you actually say it with sincerity, then maybe the world will fucking give you a break.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tim Gunn. Tim Gunn, he was very forward with all of the shitty shit he used to post and everything and tweet. And Disney had that moment where they were just like, shit, everybody's like,
oh,
talking
James
about
Gunn.
This.
I was
James
say,
Gunn.
James Gunn.
Tim Gunn, like, Project Runway.
I was like, make it work.
I would love
Racism.
To see him.
I was like, I feel like we're talking about James. Hold on.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
As soon as you said Disney.
I haven't even been drinking.
BJ, what? I need you to give me your geek card, please.
Don't even. Don't you gatekeep. Get out of here, baby gay. Gatekeep and shit. Get out
of
here.
As a cis white gay man, you are not allowed.
At least
you're not allowed.
There's
at least
no
I got
gatekeeping
my,
in this house.
You know, controversy, people correct.
But no.
All right, Robert Mikulski.
But that's the thing is James Gunn, he, you know, he got temporarily fired from Disney, and then DC picked him up for the Suicide Squad movie, and Disney's just like, you know what? That's our fault. You did say you changed. You've shown you've changed. Everybody was even saying, like, yeah, no, we knew about this. I don't know why everybody's screaming about it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It was far-right extremists that really harped on it. And Disney bowed to that.
Yep. And a lot of the internet, like, actually came to
absolutely.
His defense.
There was a lot of people that came to his defense, including friend of the pod, Jay Abbott, who is at home hopefully listening to this. He is probably the closest person that I know that is currently affected by coronavirus. He is a nurse, and he is on the front lines, and he actually did come down with it. And he's on day, I think, 13 right now.
Oh.
And still not feeling well, so not in a hospital, not on a ventilator, but
recovering. It's
but yeah,
take
but,
a while.
And so if you have not done so, and this will come out well after like this point in time when we're recording it, if you have not thanked the people that are on the front lines, the people that are working the supermarkets, that are working the fast food chains, that are still open, your doctors and nurses, anybody that is a quote-unquote essential employee that comes in contact with other people, and especially the public, and you have not thanked them for being out there and continuing to work in the public while this pandemic is raging through the United States, then you need to go fuck yourself and then go thank them.
So, like, basically, like you, like most people do with veterans, like, thank you for your service.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the one cartoon I saw today was like all the superheroes, like all this, like Batman, Superman, Captain America, all of them. And there was like a nurse in a spotlight, and it was like, welcome to the club. And it was like a very little heartwarming because it's, yeah, like, honestly, our healthcare professionals in New York, they are understaffed, undersupplied, and they're using trash bags.
Yep.
As protective material and like protective clothing against the coronavirus as they're treating patients. And it's fucking ridiculous that in this world that's an issue and that's something. We are one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And the fact that we cannot supply our hospitals with what they need is utter and complete bullshit. And it makes you realize how much certain members of our governmental body care about corporations more than they care about the people that are making sure that this country works.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2015, Bill Gates gave a TED talk basically pointing out, hey, we need to put more funding in our, you know, like medical systems.
Medical infrastructure and all that.
Especially in third world countries because we are not ready for another pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And I mean, Bill Gates... For as much as Bill Gates is always touted as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation put so much money and effort into malaria research, into trying to...
Environmental research.
Yeah, into like, trying to curb insane. So many things within third world countries and within this world in general. That is somebody that has wealth.
On top of using the you know, products that he builds, you know, the computing abilities to help, you know, make these infrastructures stronger and more
absolutely.
Sufficient.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, pretty incredible.
Because you talk about somebody like Jeff Bezos, where you just talk about, oh, he's the wealthiest man in the world. What is he doing to fight this?
Right.
When you see the articles where you talk about, I think it was 8 Amazon workers in the warehouses have all tested positive.
Oh, yeah.
Positive for COVID-19.
Uh-huh.
You know, I look at all this and I go, okay, you can do one of two things with your wealth. You can either hoard it and just make yourself more comfortable, or you can do these things for other people.
Right.
And regardless of a PC versus Apple debate, fuck that. I don't give a shit about that right now.
I mean, I'm a strong Apple person, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean... I still recognize...
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah, it's not a matter of products. Yeah, like, fuck
that.
Point,
like, yeah.
Both have great aspects to them. You know, I've used Apple products and I love them. I use Windows products and I love them. Like, I'm not that person that's like, oh, I fight, you know, that war. But Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation have done fucking amazing things with the wealth that they have... with the wealth that they have amassed in the time that they have amassed it.
Yeah.
And that all started with an inter-office romance. So
ooh.
if your boss says, hey, you want to go on a date? You might be the next Melinda Gates. Who fucking knows? Sorry, I had to make this a little...
That's fine.
I had to make this a little lighter for a second. So okay, so we've had a lot of conversation about... A lot of
worldly
the world's
stuff.
Going on right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's insanity. Everybody's like hunkered down. Some people that should be hunkered down. But today I just wanted to kind of talk to you guys about kind of our gay journeys, and not like when I asked about the clubs and like when you went to clubs and stuff.
Not Journey the musical group, right?
not Journey the musical
Don't
group.
Don't stop. Believe.
Oh, I was gonna go with Cold as Ice.
Well, speaking of, since we're,
I wanted to go separate ways, but I can't hit those notes.
Since we're now transitioning back into the topic,
you're
of
transitioning.
Gays.
Good to know.
Aww.
Gays. I mean, I am on hormone therapy, so.
Aww.
Oh, same seas.
I probably should be.
apparently, it's been helping, but.
Apparently.
Well, no.
Quote, unquote.
No, I think there has been some significant
improvements growth. And changes and stuff. So
he's punched holes in walls.
But since we're back on, you know, gays and, you know, in relation to worldly topics, I do feel the gays may be the ones that survive all of this, potentially.
Stronger, better, faster, drunker.
Now I'm stronger than yesterday. Now it's nothing but my way. My loneliness is saving me from COVID.
Well, okay, so we figured out your album.
And actually, we kind of are. Those gays that are on PrEP.
That's
and anti viral medications do have a bit of a stronger defense against COVID-19 because
they've been doing. I know they've started research on it right now.
Yeah, they have noticed that the antiviral medications have had an effect on knocking out COVID-19. Obviously, not something that's going to be a cure.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an extra line of defense for those of us that are on PrEP medication
for
right
us.
Now. Which honestly, I thought about for a moment because I have a friend of mine. His husband is is in the medical field and did a whole post about whether or not you can go off of Truvada for PrEP.
Mm.
And then go back on it whether or not this time, because we are in isolation, because we are not doing these random hookups, whether or not it is something that you could do. And it is something that you can go off of without really having to wean off of it. You can just go off of it and then go back onto it. You will, however, have that same 7-day roughly period of needing to build up the immunity again.
Yeah.
But it's not something that's going to be harmful. So if you are paying for it and you don't want to pay for it right now, it is something you can do. I, however, am like, well, if it's going to give me an extra line of defense against COVID,
right?
I'm just going to keep taking it.
Yeah, because I still have to work.
right.
but no, so I wanted to kind of check in with you guys because it was something I noticed a long time ago when I first moved down here. I was a part of apparently some sort of scandalous coffee night that later... I didn't realize.
Say their names.
There was a lot of people involved.
Say all of their names.
We've got time.
But when I first started going, I had just gotten out of college. I didn't really, all my main support structure when I was in college, I had maybe 3 or 4 gay, close gay friends, and the rest were just weird straight people that I would get drunk with. Talk about internet memes with. So when I came down here and my main group of friends or acquaintances at the time were all gay, I was like, oh, I have, who the fuck are these people? How do you interact with these people? And it was one of those things where I guess you could qualify
with the gays or the straights?
The gays.
Oh.
Especially
see,
the
now
gays.
I feel like it's the opposite for me. Like when I get with a straight people, I'm like, how do you? What Pat and I went Pokemon going with some straights one time.
Oh, the pup crawl.
Let me tell you, whew.
Although once the wife of one of the boys that I found kind of cute, she and I just started talking about boys, and I just started making dick jokes, and it made it a little easier. I find it easier to be around straight women.
Because they can talk about dick with you.
Yes. Because when
like,
you make
hey girl,
dick jokes.
You like dick? Yeah, me too.
Right? You have something it's in common with
so
them.
So good.
With the straight boys, it's like, you like vag? And I'm like, no! And they're like, I gotta go bye.
Unless you get the ones that when you ask, do you like dick? And they're like, I like, my dick sucked. I'm like,
I have.
You want a beer?
I got a mouth for you.
Hey, do you want a beer? Do you want to come over and watch a movie? Something with explosions and boobs?
Look at the boobs.
I realized when I was in college.
Oh my God, how did this porn turn on? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just going to let it play until you get hard and then I suck you up. Okay, bye.
When I was in college, I just kind of, I didn't really, somebody asked me when I was in college, do you identify as a gay black man or a black gay man? And at the time, I was like, I don't know, a garbage can? Like, I don't know the fuck. So it was one of those things where I've never really I've never really identified with a clique. And then when I moved down here, I was just kind of part of one. And I was like, uh-oh. I'm like, how do you gay? How do gay?
how do you gay?
Yeah, so it was one of those things where it was just like...
this is the new Super Bowl commercial for 21. Instead of how do you muss, it's how do you gay?
How do you gay?
So I just wanted to ask both of you that, did you ever have a moment after you kind of started on your journey of, like, when you came out to yourself, did you ever have a moment where you were around gay people and you were just kind of like, wait, what? Like, because there was a time where I'd have people look at me and they're like, oh, well, I had like they were like a protege, or they had like an older gay couple kind of teach them stuff. And I'm like, no. The only older gay person I knew was like a Republican. So I don't know if y'all want me to take those lessons to heart. So like, so Pat, when you first kind of started your journey, what was kind of your moment where you were like, oh, I'm this, like, socially?
So I never had that older gay to guide me. I never had like an elder gay to
no
be like
gay say.
Yeah, I never had that. When I met my first boyfriend, it was through AOL chat rooms.
Oh wow!
It was in September, September 3rd of 2001.
Oh shit!
I was gonna say let that date sit.
Oh shit!
We met on September 3rd. Aaliyah, I believe, had just died.
Oh damn!
Yeah, the late August, early September of 2001 was not a good time for anybody.
A lot happened that week.
It was really bad. So we met on September 3rd. We started officially dating on... Wait, no. We met on September 5th? 3rd or the 5th? One of those two. We officially started dating on the 9th of September 2001. He worked at Deutsche Bank and Tower 2, the World Trade Center.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then he was at my house on September 10th, saying, hey, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. And I said, call out. Who needs it? You don't need to go to work tomorrow. Mind you, I'd never called out for anything unless it was like essential. And he did call out.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. My first boyfriend and I had a very tumultuous, 3-year relationship, off and on relationship, partially because I didn't know how to gay. And two, because being that young and whatnot, you don't know how to gay, and you say, okay, well, I don't want this. And then he starts dating somebody, and you're like, I want that back. Being an only child for many, many years of my life, for the good first 11, almost 12 years of my life, did not allow me to play well with others.
Oh, I understand.
You were a bratty baby gay.
I was.
Oh,
I was.
No.
And he worked for the water department of Rockville Center on Long Island, so he made good money, and he bought me things, and I was just like, oh, yes, you pay for everything. You pay for everything. So I went through a lot of those growing pains on my own until I met who at the time became my closest friend before the betrayal. And he introduced me to the world of bears. He was my first bear friend.
Too big.
Too big. His name was Frankie. Before he ended up fucking the guy that I had a thing for and had sort of kind of maybe didn't, but yes, kind of whatever, dated behind my back, and then they lied to me about it, whatever. And when he introduced me to the world of the bears, it was a revelation in my eyes. And that was when I finally kind of said, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. These are the people I'm supposed to be with, because my first boyfriend, Chris, was very much tried to conform, should have been a bear, but very much tried to conform to stereotypical gay standards. He was very much, I'm going to count all of my calories. I'm only going to have salad. And there's me ordering fucking Big Ziti and having the bread. And
let me get them curly fries with extra cheese sauce, baby.
Pretty much. And if I could show you pictures from, I'd have to find them. But I could show you pictures of, like, the time that we spent together. And he went from like chubby to like super thin, almost like you feel like he's dying.
Ooh.
Like that he has some sort of disease and he's lost way too much weight, to a nice like middle ground to chubby to back. Like he did a lot of that.
So Christian Bale?
Yes, but not for roles that paid him lots of money. So once I found my place with the Bears, it was a much different world for me, because I was like, okay, I'd only really known at that point. Oh God, you're talking 2002, 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of gay representation out there. So you thought
Damian from Mean Girls 2004.
Oh, I still haven't seen Mean Girls.
Really? Oh my God.
As much as I now know and am friends with Danny Francesi, I still have not seen Mean Girls.
Our next movie night before you leave, we're going to watch it.
Like
and
tomorrow?
It's like in the next 2 days.
You said 3.5.
All right, 2.5 days, whatever.
So we're going to watch Pretty Woman and we're going to watch Mean Girls.
Lord.
Double feature.
You just watched it the other night.
I'm okay with watching it again.
We're going to watch this. You want to come watch it?
I'm okay with watching again. We'll do a double feature.
Once you found your way with the Bears, would you say that you've pretty much kind of stayed on that same journey even to now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bears have been my thing since I found out what Bears were. I don't feel like I have any sort of... I don't know how to phrase it, but
allegiance.
Not even allegiance. I don't feel like I have any way to like tell somebody how to go down a path or how I'm even going down my own path. It's been a group that has done well by me. I started a company just shy of 8 years ago, and actually by the time this comes out, it might be 8 years. Is something I never thought that I would do, was start a company, my own company. And Bears in the City has been an immense joy in my life. And putting on Bear events, taking over Bear Bust, and doing those things for the community here in Orlando and for the community abroad, because Bear Bust is an international event. It has opened up doors to friendships and things that I don't think I would ever have had if I had not journeyed down this path of like, hey, what's a bear? Cool, let me go and hang out with these people. I'm still super introverted when it comes down to just being out in the world. the journey to Chicago is going to be a very interesting one, because I know some people, but I'm going to go back to how I was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago here in Orlando, and be like, okay, well, I'm here. How do I talk to people? How do I do this? And I don't always do it well. And, you know, I'm going to have to lean on the people that I am friends with to really try to help me get through that and get back into a mindset where I was down here. To really kind of feel myself again and feel like me,
yeah,
when I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, because you're whenever I always tell people, whenever there's a breakup, whenever you have somebody that passes, whenever you move, you officially, the person you were is gone. The person you were with them is gone. So, I mean, sometimes you can always get back to that person, especially if you've just moved and you can visit. But when you go to a completely different environment and everything, you have to kind of rediscover yourself in a different environment, in a new place.
That's the weird part, is that I stayed myself a lot when I was with Brian. And okay, it's the first time I've been on the podcast and really kind of addressed it directly. But he molded to a lot of what I did, and I grew stronger because of who I was with him. And I've been able to grow as a person because of his support. It hasn't necessarily been easy since the breakup to be able to kind of deal with all of that, but I didn't have to really go back to being somebody else. I continued to be who I was. But because of other factors within the breakup, I can't be who I want to be here. And that's why I've chosen to restart, basically. I don't want to say a hard reboot, because I'm still going to be overseeing Bears in the City. I'm still running Bear Bust. I'll be back in October, God willing. But it's definitely a change that I need in order to be able to kind of reset who I am personally, and I think that it's gonna be for the best. It sucks, you know. It's really tough, especially now that it's just a couple of days away before I have to get in the car and leave. It was so different when it was like, oh, it's a month away, it's 6 weeks away,
I'm moving. Like,
now it's 3.5 days.
Start spreading the news.
It's what, Monday?
Yeah.
And now you're
at some point on Monday.
And now you're like, sitting in the closet. It's like super dark. It's like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Like, you're just straight up like, this one's got to drag you out to have a movie marathon. But no, I completely understand. It's when certain things change like that, you either have to kind of roll with it. You either have to just kind of like, yep, that's a thing that happened, which means you could potentially dissociate, or you make a change. And like, there's nothing wrong with change. I mean, provided it's nothing like alcoholism.
Changing.
Oh, I was going with the song Change from the Steven Universe movie. I can make a change.
Our friend Jaden moved to Chicago a year and a half ago.
Got more than that.
Oh my really? God, he is.
It's been like it. Bearbust.
Oh yeah,
was
no, two years ago.
Yeah, no, he's. Yeah. I think he just celebrated. Like, it was like 2 year anniversary. Or
yeah,
something? Like,
Bearbust, because he moved the Monday after Bearbust.
Yep.
In 2018.
Yep.
That's
because
right.
He won it in 2018.
No, he won 2019.
He was Bearbust 2019.
Oh, yep. That's right.
He won
entered.
It in 2018.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so we
entered.
Put it a year ahead because Your reign starts so late in the year that we we counted.
Okay.
2018, yep. 2019.
Because I won in 19.
Yeah,
but
year 2019, 2020, if you want to look at it in a true pageant fashion. I've started going by pageant rules. If you are that late in the year, especially because we're like third or fourth week of October, your reign doesn't really encompass the year that the event is in. Mm-hmm. So your title technically
is the year following.
The year following. So, yeah. But it was the Monday or Tuesday after Bearbust in 2018, mm-hmm, was when Jaden left. And then 2019, he's been, a year and a half. Almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
Since he's been gone. But, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, you know, he is... I don't want to say like super introverted. He's extroverted in his own way.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends on his environment, you know, like Megaplex, for example.
Yeah, Megaplex or like, you know, Tidal Wave. You
right.
definitely get to see a different side of him versus
correct.
Just on like a random Thursday night.
You know, and then on the regular, he's
or if you get him drunk at Hydrate on a random random Wednesday night.
You know,
after
but,
a Robin concert.
on average, he's, you know, a quiet, introverted guy, you know, very simple, just stay home, play some games, you know, go out for some Del Taco, which he misses greatly.
Del Taco.
I can't wait to get back to the White Castle.
he and I have been chatting a couple days, and...
Oh, I have a car, I can go through drive-thru.
And he was talking to me like about how he kind of misses being here, and I was like, I mean, you can always come back. I'm actually trying to find like some of the stuff that he said, because honestly, I've known Jaden for quite some time, and for him to kind of have this perspective was different than you know, the Jaden that I've known before, you know. So
he and I had a very heart to heart drunken talk back last March when I was up there, which is why I jokingly talk about Getting him drunk at Hydrate on a Wednesday night after a Robin concert, because that's what we did. And the thing is that you never know what your life will be if you don't try.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you have the fallback to be able to go back to a place, then that's great. But until you actually try it, you never know.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what I look at life now. I mean, 12 years ago, I didn't think I was going to end up in Florida. I liked a boy. There was a boy that I thought could have been the one.
Always a boy.
There's always a boy. There was a boy that I thought could have been the one. And we spent an entire week together. Pretty much an entire week together from start to finish, minus him.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And then he just up and left, and he moved to Florida. And I said, okay, well, all right.
I think the fuck not.
And then a friend of mine moved, and I said, you know what? I'm going to move with you, because the only other person that I was really close to was leaving. And then I met a guy. I met my Patrick. Everybody at some point in time usually finds somebody with their own name that they're attached to. And I chose not to move at the time that I did. And that was probably the best and worst decision I made at the time, because it led to my best friend at the time sleeping with him and telling me.
Skank.
And, you know.
Connect the dots.
It was what it was. I still care about them each in their own way. I'm still connected to them in some way, shape, or form. As we just passed St. Patrick's Day, Patrick is the reason why I say Happy Saints Day instead of Happy St. Patrick's Day, because it just, you know. And on Facebook, usually he'll tag all of us, including myself. But yeah. You know, it's tough to really kind of say that anything was a misstep at any point, because,
well, I mean, that's the thing about it. Like, when you're living your life and you're going on some sort of journey, there's not really a right or wrong. There's a right for you.
Exactly. Because if you didn't do this, like the person that I am now, for all of the pain that Brian and my breakup caused me, and I can't speak for him. Like, I know that it caused him pain, regardless of how everything went down.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get him. Oh, don't worry.
Regardless of how everything went down, it caused pain that I can't undo. But I wouldn't be who I am right now if I hadn't met him and dated him and done all of that. I wouldn't be the same person that I am. Like, we wouldn't be sitting here right now if that wasn't the case.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, my world would be in a much different trajectory had I not done that. The first guy that I dated, Josh, I had told you, was telling you a little bit of this story the other day when we were talking about exes. The first guy that I dated here in Florida, his name was Glenn. When I went to break up with him, he basically threatened to kill himself.
Oof.
Yeah. And I just couldn't bring myself to just kind of bite the bullet on that, because how can you be responsible if somebody, like, how can you live with yourself if you're trying to break up with somebody because it's not working, it's not a thing, and they're like, I can't live without you, I'm gonna end it if you break up with me. Like, how do you do that?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So what you do is you go to like a Build-A-Bear workshop style place.
I usually use a cake.
But instead of doing a bear, you would get one like a little plushie made of yourself, right? They take a photo, get some stitching and all that stuff. You stuff it. And then you give it to him, and then you take him. It's like, you know what? Let's go for a ride. We're just going to go on a random adventure.
Oh.
You take him to the psych ward, get him checked in, and then go, by the way, I'm breaking up with you, but I love you as a person. And
I don't even know if I could say all of that.
See, here's this to remember me
by.
He's
just super sweet. I would bake a wonderful cake, and it would be like, don't hold me hostage, bitch. And I'd be like, here you go. Eat it. Eat all of it. I don't care if you throw up. Eat all of it. And remember that feeling of you vomiting, because that's how I feel now. But it's...
Come on, Latrice Royale.
Eat it! But so...
Thank you for acknowledging that I'm sweet.
Yeah, oh no, you are. You're nice. That's what makes you weak.
See, I should have been drunk for all of these Sea Life episodes.
So,
my tongue is just flowing.
Oh, it's great. But sadly, we have to move on to Josh. Being the youngest one of us.
I can continue to drink now.
Oh, no, yeah, you can totally.
These are the reasons
slap it
why
back.
I drink.
So, Josh, so.
Don't remind me of the Alanis Morissette concert that I'm
oh,
not going to get to
I'm
go
so
to.
I'm so sorry. I just
Look
heard that
you.
Before I came to the
these
office.
Are the reasons I drink.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
Sorry.
And the reasons I'm here.
Rose, even though
I am not.
I'm sorry.
These.
Quarantine. So Josh, so you're how old are you again? I always ask you this.
32.
Okay. All right. Good. Not as young as I was.
35.
Thank God.
Oh no.
I just turned 32.
You just turned 32
this month.
So how?
I did not get a birthday wish from you. I don't think.
Oh, birthday from me?
Yeah.
What do you mean from me?
You didn't wish me a happy birthday, you bitch.
Oh, I thought, no, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh,
it was really weird and gross because I can't be a normal human being.
Happy Moist Expulsion Day?
Yeah, it was probably Happy Moist Expulsion Day or...
I'll have to search.
Or The Void is Searching for You.
It's usually Happy Moist Expulsion Day.
That's
probably
usual
in the trivia group chat.
You know I have a crush on you, though, if I'm like, The Void thirsts for your soul and you have escaped another year. Celebrate your continual existence with cake. That's usually how you can tell I have a crush on somebody, and now I have to go delete all those statuses from other people's
That's
Facebook.
That's super wordy.
But yeah, it is. So you just turned 32.
Yep.
How you've given me a little personal insight into like your old less chaste days with growing up, but you have grown up in Florida, in the wilds of Florida.
Yeah.
So how did your kind of path start at, like, to where you are now?
Has he really grown up?
I mean, he got a
he's gotten older.
He got a job.
Right? I got a big boy job.
He got a job.
That kills me slowly from inside. especially now. But I would say... Like, now I'm, like, really thinking about it, because...
See, this is normally me, but
yeah,
drunk ass is like, here's all my dirt!
But that's the thing with you, you're always like, there's nothing embarrassing in my life, except for these five other things. Like, you're always like, no, that's never happened, except
but
for this the seventh time.
Let me tell you about the fact that my first boyfriend worked at Twin Towers and then was at my house the night before, but I told him to call out so that way he didn't go to work, and then he didn't die in the Twin Towers.
And I'm like...
You literally saved his life.
I know, and I still feel like that's the reason that that we got together. The remaining 3 years of up and down like bullshit was extra,
like extreme circumstances.
Well,
was it that Sandra Bullock said in the movie Speed? Relationships that start under like extreme circumstances or something never work out. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember.
Well, but I mean, we didn't start under extreme circumstances. But I mean, I really feel like I know other people have said it, but I look back at my my friend Emily Kopp and her song, and she says that people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, And I look at my first boyfriend and say that he came into my life for a reason. And that was to make sure that he lived through 9/11.
Oh.
Yeah. Even though all the rest of it, like, there was good points, but there was a lot of really bad points for mm-hmm. both. And a lot of them were on me as well, because I was a not well-adjusted young homosexual.
I mean, are any of us?
I mean.
Oh, wait till you get to my journey. but Josh, so tell us.
So,
secrets.
I grew up in Polk County, mostly. Yeah.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. I was raised by
wolves.
I was gonna say wolves that were mutated by meth rednecks.
I was raised by drag queens.
So I kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere, in Polk County, and I kind of like I knew I was gay around like 10. Right, I didn't know what gay was until about 12, and then as a teenager, I came out around 17. At that particular time, looking back at it, honestly, it was like, "Oh, you're gay too? I like you."
Oh, you're one of those. Just like...
And it was always the straight boys too. Like I always had crushes on straight boys, but I would find myself, like, if I found another homosexual, which was rare, especially in Polk County, I was like, oh my god, like, you're like me, can we be a thing? So, for example, at 17, I visited DeLand to visit my grandmother, and we went to a Perkins one Sunday, and one of the servers was gay, and I'm talking about, like... blonde highlights.
Hello, Dolly.
Hair parted.
Well,
from the,
hello, you know, Dolly. Like
the sides, you know.
Oh, was it frosted?
It was like highlighted heavily.
Ooh,
yeah,
it's gonna be mine.
Yeah, heavily. And I was like, the type of person I was then, I was so like shocked. I was like, oh my god, a homosexual. I looked up the phone book for that Perkins.
Oh no!
And then, because he was checking me out.
Oh.
And I couldn't remember his name, but I called the next day.
Oh no!
I was like, so I was in the restaurant yesterday morning, and I left a hat. I'm trying to remember the server's name, and I was like, it's like this or like this. And then the person on the phone's like, oh, this person? I was like, yes, that person. Are they there? And they're like, yeah, hold on. And I put them on the phone. I was like, hey, so I came in yesterday with my grandmother for breakfast. I saw you checking me out. Like, do you want my number or something? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, oh. Okay. So, but looking and like in high school, like we like obviously we're towns away, nothing ever happened. But in high school, you know, the guys that I managed to fool around with were all, you know, like confused country boys or whatever. And after high school, when I started dating, I've dated a twink. I've dated like I guess what would be considered a cub, just without the hair.
Yeah, yeah. There's hairless cubs.
So, Pat's like losing his shit.
I was, because my first boyfriend was all about like, tear all the hair off, and I burnt my nipples that way.
Well, even I mean, I didn't. Okay, so I did Nair, like, twice.
And if you ever use Nair, do not put it near your nipples.
No.
Because it will burn them.
So I didn't do my chest. Like, my chest I would trim, but I did part of my shoulders when I started getting hair there.
Oh, see, I to this day still don't have. I have some on the, like, above the kidney area.
Oh,
but I don't have a full back sweater yet. And at almost 40, I'm pretty sure I won't.
I watched a Backblade commercial the other day, and he had these three names for like back hair. It was like your shoulder scarf. Oh, muscle mane. You had a muscle mane. And then like right above your ass, it's called the tush bush.
Tush bush.
See, I call it my bunny tail.
The bunny tail. So
push in the tush bush.
I just started kind of getting my body here around
like 20. And I was very kind of on the fence of it. And I was leaner then, so I was, I guess, more considered otter status.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't, I didn't see a whole lot of representation or other guys who were gay and hairy, so I kind of tried to get rid of that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Now, I never ate the salads, and I never watched the calories and all the other stuff and bleached my hair. I mean, yeah, I never bleached my hair. So I never...
There is nothing wrong with bleached hair while you were going through an identity crisis or a quarantine.
Well, I mean, I shaved my head, so, I mean, there's that. I guess, according to
I shaved my beard off and have a porn cop mustache.
Cop mustache.
So.
Nothing wrong with the porn cop mustache.
According to the memes, you're either going to bleach your hair or you're going to shave it, so clearly I made my choice.
You did. And I do love the fact that Aaron called me his cop daddy. So.
Well, yesterday, or when you first shaved it, I was like, I want to put you in a cop suit so bad.
I know. And I love... Honestly, if you haven't gone to a comic shop, I do love Aaron so much. But it really did give me a little tingle in my nips when he was like, you're my cop daddy. And I was like, yes,
oh,
you
boy.
Straight man. Straight-ish man. As long as the dick isn't in his mouth, he's not gay. That's,
oh, okay.
That's his motto.
That's the rule. Hey.
As long as the dick isn't inserted into him.
In any orifice.
I can't wait for you to edit this episode. I can't right. wait.
I am going to send the link directly to Aaron and be like, I need you to listen around this point.
Cannot wait.
Here's a direct clip.
So you didn't shave your hair off, or you did?
So I started to, yeah. Like, okay. I trimmed my chest hair as it started to get a little longer, and I've tried Veet, I've tried Nair, like some other chemical hair removals.
Mm-hmm.
All of them made me break out insanely bad, so I stopped doing it. And then as I got older, so I at this time I lived in DeLand, so let me start there.
Okay.
I got out of Polk County, and I was in... DeLand full time. Not that visit where I very
stalked a
oddly,
server,
like
yeah,
you know, asked for a server's number.
Uh-huh.
That should have been one of my embarrassing stories in one of a previous.
Oh yes, yes, it should have. But I'm glad it surfaced here.
So, my first ex boyfriend, I guess, was the first stocky gay that I've kind of seen, and then my second was like twink status. But, I would say. The whole bear journey officially started possibly in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I met my ex who, on Scruff, actually. So I went from Grindr.
You went from, okay, so that's how you identify your like, change of.
I think when Scruff came out, I moved over to Scruff, and I was like, even as a 12-year-old, I've always had a thing for body hair.
Oh, boy.
Like, you know, I mean, it's the symbol of masculinity, I guess. So I've always been, like, anytime I found a Playboy magazine from my dad, I would look for the ads of men with chest
oh.
hair.
Oh.
I was like, this right here. So when the app came out, you know, and I was around before all the apps, I mean, just like Pat was. But so Grindr was new to me, like when it came out, then Scruff came out, and I got on that, and I was like, oh, yeah, these are much, like, this is better. I mean, not to say that.
This is what I want.
You know, one type of gay is better than the other, but, you know, this
that's
appeals
what,
to me more.
That's what made it vibrate.
And I met my ex, who was, like, this 5'11", Italian, Greek, hairy as can be.
Mm.
You know, and then from that particular point, you know, because of him, I felt a lot more comfortable with my current body and the amount of hair that I had. So I kind of started to embrace it around that time. Now, after our relationship had ended, I was kind of going through my own identity crisis. I mean, it took me like a year and a half to get over the relationship.
Yeah.
But in that period was when I actually met Pat. Because I had realized that, you know, I put all of my eggs in his basket. And
yeah, you did.
When when that ended, I realized I didn't have a lot else going on.
Yeah.
You know, and I...
You had to get to know yourself again without him.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I... With him, he... I actually owe a lot to him. And we're still friends. You know, we are very important to each other. And we've made such impacts on each other's lives. With him, he honestly made me believe that I could do anything. And I was much more than what I ever gave myself credit for.
Gross.
I know. So with that, you know, he kind of instilled the base of, I guess, self-esteem and self-worth.
He helped you on your journey of self-worth and self-esteem.
Right.
Nice.
And, but I felt like I needed to find something new.
Yeah.
Right? And I started going out to Parliament House.
Oh.
And I, prior to that, you couldn't get me to go there willingly. I just, you know, there were rumors, and I was just like, that doesn't seem like my thing. And I judged it by a cover, but I went, you know, and I was completely wrong for agreeing with the things that I've heard. It was nothing like that. I met Pat, who's now one of my closest friends.
Yeah.
And clearly, you know, being friends with you, I mean, I feel like the last.
I'm so sorry.
Your journey's kind of intersected.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you help. You help with a lot of stuff at Bears in the City and do a lot of photography stuff for him.
Yeah.
And you're.
Well, I mean, he's taken over as the photographer for Parliament House once it reopens. I mean, before.
If.
It shut down.
Once. Who knows? Who knows what it was?
Once, twice, three times.
Coronavirus!
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would never have thought to have given the photography position to anybody else. I mean, there was one other person that wanted it, but, I mean, Josh was the first person that I thought to give it to.
Aww.
Aww.
Yeah, so, there was a little hesitancy with me there. Like, he asked me, do you want it? And I was like,
harmonize!
I just...
Josh knew the coronavirus was coming.
I was like, you know what? I can accept now. It'll be fine. It won't last long. The coronavirus will come. It'll shut everything down. I'll be out of a job. Then, you know, I don't know. Something will happen. So, yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of
that's where you're at now.
It was right before I moved to Orlando officially. You know, and I think in 2015 I had talked about moving to Orlando because there's a lot more going on. And I used to go out to Orlando because there was theme parks and restaurants and, you know, gay clubs, which I used to go to clubs. I hated clubs.
Yeah.
But I would go with the few friends that I had.
Awesome.
So I would say, like, officially when I started, you know, visiting Orlando more and more, and I started at the Parliament House, met Pat and the other people I've met along the way.
Look at that. So, maybe people in the audience have realized my evil plan. We'll see if Pat gets it.
I'm drunk. I just made another cocktail,
and I'm
pretty.
He'll get it once he edits the episode, and then he'll
Jesus
probably
Christ.
Text me a whole bunch of crying emojis, and I'll just laugh. I like Pat. I probably came out to myself my senior year of high school. The only gay people I was friends with, one at the time was transgendered, but he wasn't sure, until she kind of actually got on her journey. And the other one, I think he's still alive. He had a thing for weird daddies.
Wow.
So I hope he didn't get abducted. Andy, I know if you're out there and you happen to hear this, I love you. You're sweet. You are tall as all hell, and at the time I was shocked that gay people could get that tall because I thought there was a height requirement.
Where did he live?
He lived in Chamblee, Georgia, Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So,
we're gonna have an all points bulletin put out for this guy.
I think he's alive.
So I was in marching band and. In high school, which is something similar to how things are for me now, I was a part of the anime club. I was friends with the mathletes. I worked at PetSmart with the like super popular, super smart seniors. So I was in the band, I was in drama class,
I did drama.
Had my fingers in every social circle in high school.
I don't love drama, it loves me.
Right. And so throughout high school, I never, like, to this day, I've never had a boyfriend, y'all. I have no idea how any of that bullshit works. And because in high school, I had a huge support network of friends that I never really felt alone. At the time, my dad was just getting into the religious thing, so there was a lot of internalized shame going on there. That was fun. And then I got
Has that slowed down at all?
Oh, no. No. Like
oh,
I said.
Okay. I know you've talked about your dad being a preacher before, so.
Yeah. He's a little bit, but let's put it this way. When he found out I had a friend in class that was from Pakistan, he proceeded to call him the darkness. And he also
just thinking that.
And then
that's what BJ likes to sing at karaoke.
And then when I was like, oh hey, my friend Jakob Van Satten in class, he's like, why do you say his full name? I'm like, because it's a really cool name. And he's like,
Jakob?
Is he Jewish? And I'm like, why did you say it like I think a Nazi would say it? yeah, that was a fun fight. But he's less stringent about things.
Jewish?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Like I'm like, oh, I'm about to get a beating. clearly, just for knowing one. So at the time, it was very much I went through a lot of identity crisis once I got out of high school. Because I went to college in Tallahassee. I knew three people I went to high school with went there. One sold weed out of our dorm room. He may have lost some of his stash, and I mysteriously found it and sold it. So I was a drug dealer for half a second.
Yeah.
So, and then.
We don't condone drug. We don't condone drug. We don't condone drug. Whatever, keep
drug
going.
Sales. So and then that's where I got into the furry thing. And then I ended up making friends.
Was that like coming out like all over? Like you come out gay, you come out like maybe cub or bear or whatever, and then you come out of.
Oh, it's
like another level of coming out.
So when I went to a meetup at the arcade with the local furry group, and. It was weird because everybody was so different. I was like one of two black people. There was an asexual person there, and I was like, "What the heck?" I was like, "What is this?" And then there was a trans person there. It was kind of what I needed when I got into college because I went to a historically black college, and let me tell you, I do not fit in well there. I have one friend that I went to college with, and I think he ended up switching to a different school. And then I had one friend at FSU, so I really only had like two or three college friends, and then the rest of my friends were either like just graduated or like in the working class.
Which was the HBCU?
Florida A&M.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Florida A&M University. Okay. Rattlers. yeah, I never went to a football game.
Oh God, it's a classic weekend. spinners everywhere.
So it was really weird because like my mom was like, "Oh, he's gonna get back to his roots," and I'm like, "No, I'm gonna get even weirder now."
Come on, Gail.
I kind of came out to myself there. And it was. I would say, honestly, I wouldn't do it any differently if I had to go back to that time when I was in college because, I mean, it was awkward as fuck. I would go out to the bar with a friend of mine who was frankly a hoe and also claimed all of his previous conquests as his. So let me tell you, that friendship wasn't toxic at all. So it was just a very weird time. But I really made the best friends I could ever ask for in my life there. so much that like I've applied for a job there. I'm not actually afraid of moving back there. But then when I moved down, I didn't really discover what a bear was till I think I was 19 or 20. I think I was 20. And that was like, that was a subculture that I actually didn't think I didn't belong to, because I didn't see anything in advertisements or like for anything that had black guys in it. So I didn't even think that I could be a bear. And so it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I'm really into this thing. I don't think I am welcome here, so I'm going to just hang out on the periph. And then I actually came down for one of the bear busts. I think it was the first one where they hosted it at the Parliament House.
Oh, back at Parliament, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually met a handful of people, and then I had some friends that were moving down here, and I would come down with them when they were apartment hunting. And that's where I got into the coffee group. And it's the weirdest. What made me kind of start this episode or think about this, the whole thing with journeys, is there were two people in that coffee group that, actually there are three.
Aren't they a journey cover band?
That would, they were always defending me. They were always super sweet. They were always really nice. And then there was a whole collective that just like would actually ask them to tell them to disinvite me.
Say their names. Say their names.
However, I'm gonna tell them that I was talking shit about them on this episode to make them listen. So however,
wait, who were the ones that were defending you?
Huh?
Say their names.
Oh, okay. I was Mike, Lauren, and Richard.
I was gonna say it had to be Mike and Lauren.
Of course. They were asked to disinvite me and they said no.
By who? Say their names. Come on.
That one I don't have firm proof on, but there's at least four suspects.
Say this. Come on. Come on, let's put the suspects out there.
But I will say two of those suspects are now ride or die for me. Because once that
is one's initials SM?
Yes. once that whole group broke up, I began actually hanging out with some of the people a little bit more one-on-one time. And it was the funniest thing, because it brought me back to when I felt like I couldn't be involved with bear stuff because I didn't see any of me in that community. And I was like, you know what, let me just have lunch with them. You know, I know they're bitches, but I'm bored. Let's hang out. And it was the funniest thing, because it was years later, I'm talking to my friend Sean, and he was like, are you still friends with everybody? It's like, yeah. He's like, huh. He's like, do you actively like not get along with anyone? And I was like, I don't think so. I mean, some people don't talk to me anymore, but you know, it's not out of malice or anything. And he's like, you're the only person I have ever met that is just so easy to talk to. And it was like, let me tell you, it was like the first time I ever thought I had a skill.
This was after he tried to get you thrown out of the coffee group.
I don't
group.
Think that was him. But it was one of those things where I realized that even though, like, I will dump on myself quite a lot, often, all the time, even right now. That my journey's led me to is kind of this tenacity I have where I don't think I've ever been disappointed on giving people chances, no matter what the gossip is. Like, it's sometimes the gossip's true. Sometimes that person is a hoe. Sometimes that person is racist. But you know what?
Sometimes that person is trash.
Sometimes that person is trash. But you know what? Sometimes I'm trash too.
Is it Robert Michael McCroskey?
But you know, I just have this.
I intentionally did that just for you, Josh.
Thank you. You did it for the cast.
I did it.
For
the world.
You did it for the flame.
But
Flamon for the world.
One of the things I will always forever remember, and I'll kind of leave the episode on this, is I remember living with my friend Matt Stevens and the two guys he was trying to date.
Charlie and Rodney.
Charlie and Rodney. I had just kind of started it. I was working at Walgreens and Best Buy, and I was sitting in the living room playing Bayonetta, and some dude walked in, and I'm like, I should know who this is, but I wasn't paying attention when Matt was talking. I can't remember who this person's name is. I'm like, maybe I should introduce myself. I did not, because I knew we had met before, but that person turned out to be Pat. it was the first time I had, and we both were like, what do I say to this bitch? Like, it was great, because I'm sitting there like, I was like, hey, Pat, and I was like, hey, and he was like, hi, and I was like, where were you working then?
At that point, I think...
Was it TJ Maxx?
If it was when I think it was, which would have been going to see Xanadu, which is, I think, one of the few times that I was like, wait, no. Was that the Castleberry apartment?
Yes, that was the Castleberry apartment.
Oh, shit, where were we going? Because Castleberry wasn't Xanadu. That was the other apartment with them. Oh, God. At that point, I would have had to have been working at TJ Maxx. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that, at that point, it would have been TJ Maxx. I don't remember what we were going to do, but I do remember it, because it was right by US Skates?
Yeah.
Whatever the skating rink is in Castleberry, yes. Right over there.
It was right, which was across the street from a Hooters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember where it was.
Yeah. I remember having to go, like turn right off of Cimarron by the US Gate and the Hooters and going back that way. I don't remember what we were going to do. I think I might have just been picking Matt up. Maybe it was for, like, it might have been during one of those Gay Days, Tidal Wave, before Tidal Wave was, like, the thing that it is now.
I don't think it was, because I remember there wasn't, like, a big event. No. There wasn't a big event. I think, I don't know if you guys were just going out to dinner.
Maybe.
Or if you guys were just, like, going out to see a show or something, because I remember he had not gotten ready.
Yeah, and I was just sitting in the living room.
And you were just like, annoyed because he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I think it was a show or a movie or something. Y'all had to go somewhere, and Charlie and Rodney were out of town. And so I'm sitting there, and then I remember it was like 3 or 4 years later. This was years later. You were doing karaoke at Stonewall, and I remember it was my first time kind of going out by myself. I hadn't really gone out by myself, but Charlie and Rodney had moved, Matt had moved. I was living with two people that are kind of bitchy. And I was like, I want to go out. I want to do something. I'm off tonight. What do I go do? And I went out to Stonewall for karaoke. And it was so funny because they were like, oh, yeah, karaoke, there's a lot of songs, blah, blah, blah. And I walk in and I was like, oh, my God, Pat, hi. I know someone. This is my friend Pat. I know him.
And I was like, who are you?
You were very much like, I was like, I'm Matt's roommate, the guy that, and you were like, we were sitting in the living room not talking. And I was like, yes. I couldn't remember your name. You were like, I couldn't remember yours either. And I was like, and there we have it, ladies and gentlemen, right there. So not only did we get to talk about our paths this episode, but we got to talk about where our paths intersected with Pat.
Right.
And do you remember, like, how you and I became friends? Like, or how did we even start talking? Because I just remember...
Well, Eric Caban introduced us at a very, very Christmas, because you were wearing the Feed Me and Tell Me I'm Pretty Bear shirt.
Yes. Okay, I remember that. I'm trying
and then
to
I
Eric
don't remember
is.
How we swapped numbers. It was probably because I was dating Brian and was like, oh, he's cute. And we weren't open. At least I wasn't, and I was just like, I am gonna give this dude my phone number and like let's just whatever. And for probably about a year and a half after that, I'm pretty sure that all of our text messages
started with
hey,
it's Pat.
Because I wasn't sure if you would remember me. And honestly, for most people, that's like, if I haven't talked to them in forever, I feel like people don't remember me once they leave me. I'm like the silence.
I'm kind of like that. Yeah, I get that.
That is my biggest, like, downfall is, like, I feel like I am the silence from Doctor Who. As soon as you turn away from me, you forget that I exist.
Oh, no. I will forever. After that moment in the living room, I was like, you were connected to, one, that my first place I lived in here in Orlando. You're connected to the only one of the only people that Matt actually kind of introduced me to that wasn't Karen or Donna.
Come on, Donna.
And then you were also your karaoke with the baroque I would always do. You were like, I was like Norm, and you were the Cheers bar. I was just like, you were like kind of my first bar friend.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, yeah, I always feel like people, especially...
I feel like that's how we were, too. We started off as bar friends.
We did.
I just don't remember how we integrated into personal friends.
I think it was after... Oh, God. Let's sell secrets. Secret time! Let's talk about the time when you came and saw... Steven at one of the comedy shows, and you were running late.
Oh.
And then we all stuck around afterwards and got drunk, yeah. And I got most of you all to take your shirts off. I don't remember if I got you to take your shirt off.
Oh, my shirt went off long ago.
Oh.
I have pictures from that night.
I do, too.
Because I ended up taking pictures. There was a picture. You took a picture. You took the pictures.
Yes. I think I sent them to you all.
Yeah. It was me, Jay, and Jay. Or Brad.
Brad Locally.
And Steve.
And Steven.
And I was in the middle of them, and I was like, where's my shirt? And then there was one in the Bear Den. Like,
in the Bear Den, I got you and
Jeremy and
Jeremy
his boyfriend at the
and
time.
Tyler. So I'll take your shirts. And I think
Sean,
who won Mr. Bear Bust.
Sean Boyd.
Boyd, yeah.
Actually, I have that picture on my phone.
Yes. Oh, Boydy.
Yeah, I was like, take your shirts off. It'll be a much more fun picture if you guys take your shirts off.
I love that was your go-to thing. Like, It's your first time at baroque, and it's your first time at baroque. You have to take your shirt off. And I love it. Like, sometimes I would be like, yes. And then other times I'd be like, don't listen to him. He's a pervert.
That particular time, I don't even know if it was that night, probably, but or another night. Hard to tell. It happens so often. But at some point, there was a time where my shirt got taken off for like a second, and someone took it from me and started playing keep away. I feel like it might have been that night.
Oh, I don't remember that at that point.
Well, here's one of the photos that you took.
Yes, because I was like, oh,
and
that,
my shirt is nowhere to be found.
That white balance is so horrible.
Because I'm so pale.
Oh, my God, it was so bad.
Let me see.
Come on, Brad Locally. I love Brad Locally.
No, you are pale.
Steven Guarino is pale. Fabulous as well, but honestly, like, I
was drunk. So very drunk.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, we were all so drunk at that point in time. But I totally was just like, take your shirts off, boys. It'll make for much better pictures.
And everyone's like, okay.
All right.
All right.
Because you're all thotty hoes, and I love it.
I was not.
You were not, but you were trying to get all up on a dick, so it's fine.
But then
months later, I get a message from one of the boyfriends going, hey, have you seen my boyfriend?
Oh, so much drama.
Woo! So, but I just wanted to do a little talk about our history, not just for the people at home, but for Pat. I thought this was going to be like you'll have 7 more days, and now it's 3. So, but just know we appreciate you and all the opportunities you've given us with the podcast. And
talking shit
about people behind their backs, but really in public.
That's the most fun part about it, to be honest. I mean, you guys have been fantastic this whole time, and it's so weird. Like, we're 9 years of Flame On, and I've only been involved for close to 7. But as Brian has pointed out before, I turned into the Mussolini of Flame On, and I made sure that the trains ran on time, and as we sit here at almost 8 p.m. on a Thursday night, and I haven't edited the last podcast that's supposed to go out tomorrow.
on our 30-minute, that started at 5:30.
Ooh, we're an hour and a half into recording. It's fine.
Oh, I can't wait for you to edit this sucker.
This will be good. I love it. Most of this is going to stay in. Honestly, if you've listened to most of our episodes, most of what we say stays in. There's very little that gets cut out, and when it does, it goes on a Patreon. I think we can cut out that whole
phone book thing from my story.
Nope. No. That's one of the best parts of your story.
We could put the first half as like a Patreon because that was like, that. At first I was like, you know what? Let's just talk about COVID-19. We'll just make that our 10-year anniversary episode. And then when you had to, you know, put feeling behind it, then I was like, oh, damn.
No, this has been a fantastic episode. I mean, it's, we talk about now, this is what I call gay life. And
this is gay life for us.
This is. I mean, honestly, I was waiting for you to really kind of get into like the fact that we're all self-isolating and the fact that we can't go out and get random dick. And I'm not the type of person to like go out and get random dick, especially 12 years and living in this state. I look at Scruff and I look at Growler. Okay, Growler more so than anything else because I pay for Growler because I loved Coley and Frank. And by that, I mean, I still love Coley and Frank, but they don't own Growler anymore, so it's a little different story. But I can't really give up $39 for premium versus $79. So I put away like 42 cents a week, and I get to pay for that every year. With COVID-19 and us not being able to really kind of have any type of sexual interaction with people that are not within like a relationship area, I'm just like, fuck my life.
Right?
I see a dude with like nice chesticles and I'm like, put it in me, daddy.
All they need is sweatpants. If they got sweatpants, I'm at my window like, hey, hey, let me taste some thighs. Hey, which drives my roommate insane because he's like, I'm going to tell them. And I'm like, and I'll be gone. And they're going to think you're a crazy pervert.
I love it because, like, honestly, at this point in time, and especially being here in Orlando, and now knowing I only have a couple of days left, people are like, oh, we're going to have so much fun. And I'm like, I'm going to be gone before this restriction is lifted. So, peace. Gotta go. See you later. but, I mean, it's been fantastic. And I am just... I'm grateful for the time that I have been given as a showrunner, as producer, and as the artistic director, in essence, for Flame On. And Flamon, if you're nasty.
And Bear Triarch.
I'm the Bear Triarch. I'm really not the Bear Triarch.
There's going to be a power vacuum when you're gone, and I can't wait to see the bloodbath, let me tell you.
Bitch, you really think there's going to be a power vacuum? I'm still going to be running this shit from Chicago.
Everybody's just going to be too tired to do
this. This isn't going to be my old kickball team.
No, this isn't kickball torture. This is, here, I'm leaving you equipment. Y'all got to do this, and I will let you know when to get on the recording.
Josh will just come out after taking a nap, and I'll just be sitting in the living room like, hey, what's up?
I mean, seriously.
You got a man back there, you hoe?
If I wasn't here, you totally would have just been sitting on the couch for like 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I would. I have a thing about waking people up or interrupting people. So, like, I would totally, after probably about 40 minutes, I would start playing something. I'd be like, there's a switch here. I'd start reading Ranma One Half manga over there. Like, well, I would find something to do.
That's mine over there.
Well, then I would have been reading through it.
Yeah, I got some comics.
You know what you could read through? Cave Ash, a lovely nonfiction story written by David J. Collins of Chicago.
I do kind of want to read that, and I actually kind of want to read the one that you're reading now.
You too.
Summerdale?
I have Summerdale.
Because you said it was like a horror thing.
Yeah. It's the first of three of a horror trilogy.
That's right up my a-hole.
It really is. Honestly, I think you would enjoy it. And if I can get through 172 pages in like 3 hours.
They got it as a book on tape?
That one. I should talk to him about me now.
An audiobook.
About me doing the audiobook.
Ooh, yes.
Right? but it is available as an ebook for $3.99 on Amazon Kindle and Apple Books? iBooks?
Not to be confused with an e-boy.
iBook. I might have to do that on my new iPad.
You should. But Gabe Ash and Summerdale. Gabe Ash is actually really cute as well. It's a nonfiction, but it's a solo story. But I David and I are starting to work together now that I'm heading up to Chicago. So I should preface that by saying, yes, it does benefit me as well. But if I did not believe in the product, I would not be wanting to promote it as well.
Help him create a character in his sequel about me.
Well, the four characters that are going to go through the three novels are already established. Listen, I would have told him to
be a victim
on me too.
I could be, you know,
a victim.
Exactly.
A dead body on the side of the road.
Oh my God! Can we set up like a?
I could be a recent pageant winner, and then I murdered for my title.
Oh my God! Could we do like a
drop dead gorgeous?
We should do like a kind of a donate, and the highest bidder gets to be a part of the novel.
Oh, that'd
be good. That'd be great.
I like that. But yeah, so thank you, boys, for being a part of this. Thank you for doing 10 episodes of Now That's What I Call Gay Life. I feel like there are more to be had within all of this. It's going to be a little bit before we all start recording.
I got a
new
book. Don't worry.
Yeah. No. I honestly, once we started this, it was kind of nice to have somebody else who really kind of took ownership of, hey, let's do these series of episodes. And it's been a great experience.
I have no technical skills, but I am an idea man.
And that's fine. I've got all the tech here, and we're going to make it work. And we're going to continue on for all of our listeners out there. We've got all of our Patreon subscribers and our listeners that are out there. So, hey.
Which I'm thinking about some stuff for, like, video content for Patreon.
Well, then they need to start subscribing at a higher level. Yeah. We don't have any video subscribers just yet, we'll figure that out. But honestly, I mean, maybe if we get some video stuff up, then we'll maybe lower some thresholds, or we'll make some stuff available to entice people to increase their Patreon subscriptions.
I can post some
calendar
snippets on Instagram.
A Jeremy Bear Me calendar.
Oh, come on, Jeremy Bear Me. I love it.
Emphasis on the bear.
Jeremy,
Bear-a-me calendar.
You're welcome.
Bear. Growl.
Oh.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being here. This is our last recording in Orlando. And, thank you all. And we will see you guys on the flip side. Deuces.
Later.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.